to the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Off the Mats podcast. I don't even know why I tell you the name of the podcast anymore, because you guys know what you're listening to. It's 200 plus episodes. You guys know where we're at. I think it says at the top of my screen 208. So that's what we're going to go with, episode 208. So that means I have to put this out. What next? All right. So anyhow, welcome into the podcast for the first time, or as I like to say, back for the very first time. I've been following this account for a while on Instagram throughout the name changes, because the name changes with the belt ring. So yeah, I had to ask myself the other day, I was like, how far back was I? Remember when you were a brown belt, Randy?
Yeah, it started at purple.
Okay. That's then it was like, cause I felt like it was purple belt. And then one day I saw brown belt, I was like, somebody stole Randy's name.
Yeah. It's just you.
So, welcome into the podcast for the very first time, Mr. Black Belt Randy. What's up, Randy? How you feeling, man?
I'm pretty good, man. Just riding some highs. It's always a good time to get to talk to people.
Hey, that's what I like about the podcast, is just talking to people. You know, it beats going out to the mall and being a creeper.
Oh, yeah. Plus, I'm like too old for the mall. They all closed for the most part.
I went to the mall today with my daughter, and it was a really weird experience. Like, it was a weird experience in that the kiosk people. I go to the mall every day for work with the guys
that
I work with.
That sounds awful.
It is. Well, we have a direct route, though. We go into this one specific arcade and play games. But going with my daughter today, we're walking around. And it's just like the kiosk people. It's like they fuck with me all the time. And what I like to do is I like to hold eye contact as they're talking to me and then just keep walking by them. But I have my daughter with me, so I don't want to be fucked with. And I think they knew it. So I walked past three of them and they just kept like, sir, would you like to? Sir? And there was actually a guy without a kiosk that tried to sell me some shit. And I was like, I don't know, like drug dealers are really bold these days. These
dude, you know the ones who clean your shoes?
Oh, yeah.
I really fuck with them, because I'll go up to them with my Crocs on. And then they get all salty. But I pay them, because I just find it like hilarious. It's just funny. So I go up there with my Pokemon Crocs. Like, no joke, they're like Pokemon themed Crocs, get my Crocs all shined up. Man, well, money's money.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, yeah, they can't complain too much. I mean, it's like, God damn it. This fucking guy at the Pokemon Crocs again.
Oh, dude, I've done it like four times in a row once to this one dude, because he won't stop bothering me. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I went every day for like 4 or 5 days in a row and had him clean my Crocs.
Dude, like in Baltimore, they have the fucking squeegee boys. When like you, if you get caught at a red light, these motherfuckers come over and fucking clean the windshields. And it's like, you're trapped. You can't go anywhere. And they know it too, and they get you. And then they expect you to pay them. And it's like, no, I didn't even want you to do this in the first place, dude. Like one time they got me, this was way in like in my beginning years of driving. They got me. I was lost in Baltimore. This might have been the second time I've ever been to Baltimore. I was lost. I didn't know where the fuck I was. I'm at a stoplight. And like he comes over, starts wiping my window down. I roll down the window because I want to do that. I need directions. How the fuck do I get back to 95? I'm lost. He didn't know shit. He just told me to go to the gas station. He cleaned my window. And I'm like, look, man, I think all I had was a 20. I just threw my 20. I was like, dude, get fuck. Like, go away. Like, made 20 bucks that night for doing a shitty job of cleaning my windshield. And I still didn't get home. Well, I got home, but I was still lost as fuck. The gas station know what the fuck to tell me either. I think I was being set up.
That's how I always feel. Maybe I'm just a suspicious person. But anytime, like the other day, we had some dude driving around. Hey, can I clean your car for my TikTok? Like, you trying to rob me, bro?
The fuck?
They're trying to like get content and all this other stuff. And like, I'm trying not to be a hypocrite because I like go to people all the time. Hey, can I collab with you? Let's make a video, dude. But then I'm like, that guy's trying to set me up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It's like, I see a lot of these prank videos now, and it's like,
exactly. I'm always paranoid someone's gonna ruin my car. I love my car.
Like, I'm a super friendly person. I think I like to think I'm friendly, but I don't have time for pranks. Like, especially if I'm out with my kid. If I'm out with my kid and you try to prank me, I'm going to bite you. That is a fact. I'm okay with whatever. I don't know what you can get from biting somebody, but I'm okay to take that risk if you fucking bother me around my kid. If I'm out by myself, you try to prank me, that's fine. I don't care. I mean, like, I'm probably not going to play along with your prank anyway. They're like looking for some kind of specific reaction. I'm just like, okay, pretty fucking dumb, but, you know. But yeah, I'm always worried about that kind of shit too. But you know, it's the world we're in now, Randy.
Yeah, it's pretty whack.
So now that we've gotten the mics checked here, we know that the sound is all right.
Yeah,
Randy, let's get to your story. I need to know, my friend. What got you started here? Why jiu-jitsu?
So when I was in high school, I was very much a high school athlete. I got started in sports relatively late for high school. I didn't start playing like team organized sports till eighth grade. And the high school I was in, they started at eighth grade. And I just took to it. I played soccer and lacrosse and basketball. And I was all state in all three of those in eighth grade. Right. Like, I just liked, that's all I did. I would wake up at six, go to practice, go to school, go to practice with my team, and then I would practice with a travel team. Like, that's all I did. And then a little later, I was a sophomore in high school, and my aggression got the better of me. And I just was getting kicked off the team because I just couldn't handle losing. I hated being the best on the team and losing. Couldn't stand it. Like, it drove me insane. I would fucking throw my cleats, throw shit, break my sticks over my thigh. Like, I was a lacrosse goalie, so I was a soccer goalie too. So all the pressure felt like it was on me. So I wasn't allowed to play interscholastic sports because I was an idiot. I got a red card in soccer and then cursed out the ref thinking it was bullshit. So I had to go to like truancy court and all these things just to play sports again. Well, in the meantime, I met the girl I started dating at the time, my son's mom, actually. I was 17 and I was helping her dad move stones in his backyard for some cash to take her to Frightland in Delaware. It's like an amusement, scary place.
I'm well familiar with it.
I was like 17 and I was like, yeah, I want some money. I'll work with you. And I was just helping the guy out. I liked grinding. I liked work. I've always been like picking up extra side jobs. And he was like, want to wrestle? I'm like, yeah. And he was like, all right, like, come here. And he pulled guard, triangle choked me. My hand got caught and he broke my thumb. And I thought it was the most amazing thing ever. I was like, this old dude just choked me between his legs. What the fuck just happened? Plus, this is mad whack. This is freaking whack. And I just like couldn't contain how whack it looked. Like, you know, then he showed me MMA. I was like, yo, this is stupid. And for some reason, he was like, you should do this. This is awesome. He was a blue belt under Henzo. He used to do acupuncture for Henzo in the late 90s.
Oh, nice.
And his name was Dr. Freezer. And he was just, for a long time, he was like a father to me. He was very important to me. And moving on just a little bit, he had like mats in his basement. He taught karate in the 90s and then got into jiu-jitsu a little after that. And sorry, I'm a little jumbled here. So he had like the old Henzo Craig Kuklug tapes and he taught me a couple things there. And I just was like hooked. It was like my new addiction. Nothing else mattered. From then on, it's still that way now. From then on, that was it. He showed me a couple things. I started training at the gym that was like right down the street. I was training at two gyms actually in the beginning at the same time. It was called Team Viper back in the day. And Alex Lipinski, he was like a balance. Like at the time, he was a purple belt, but now he was like forever. He's like an OG of Delaware, Alex Lipinski. So I trained at both these places. I was training every day. And that's just how I started. I just thought it was the most amazing thing that this old dude beat the shit out of me. And I vowed, never again will he beat me again. And he never did because he stopped training. And then I got my blue belt and my purple and my brown and my black. Because he only got his blue belt and some stripes. But he was like, nah, I'm one and done. We're never grappling again. And then this motherfucker had the audacity to die from COVID so I can never grapple him again. But he was a good man. He was a big influence on my life at that point. He still is. Like, Dr. Freeze was awesome. Just a good human all around. And he's the reason I started jiu-jitsu to begin with. It filled a void in my life because athletics was everything to me. And when it was taken away, I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, that was my identity. I would wake up, go, like, my high school was really closely associated with the college, Wesley College. So I would, like, play with the college team because our coaches were just athletes on their team. So I got to play a lot. I put a lot of hours in a very short amount of time. And that's how it all kind of started. I had to find a different one.
And that's good that you're able to find the proper outlet. I feel like there are a lot of young athletes who are in the wrong sport.
You know? Oh, yeah.
It's like, I feel like I was that kid. Like, I didn't know that I was an athlete until I got to eighth grade here in Maryland. And I mean, I always knew I was fast, but I didn't know that I knew how to play sports. I was, I don't know what the fuck sports were. And this one kid was like, this kid, Charlie, that, you know, he was like, come play football at recess. I was like, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to get picked. And sure enough, I was the last pick. And it wasn't even that I was the last pick. It was just, there are no more kids. It was like, okay, just fucking take the guy. The kickoff comes to me. It's two-hand touch. I ran it back. I didn't get touched at all. And then from that point on, it was like, oh, this dude's going to be the first pick every time we play. And then I realized also I was bigger than everyone too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know that I was bigger than everyone. You know, it was just that, you know, dumb, clumsy kid. I didn't understand. Yeah. And once I realized, oh, these motherfuckers can't tackle me either. Put my shoulder down and run them over. And then eventually the ideal of sports became a thing. But even though I played football and loved it, I don't know that probably wasn't really the sport for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably would have benefited from, you know, wrestling. But yeah, you know, it's just those things where it's like, you know, you find the right outlet. And, you know, for someone like yourself, it mattered. It mattered big time.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of kids, it's just like, okay, it's just another, you know, another step in the journey to whatever, hell they're going to do. But for you, this was a step in the journey that, you know, became you. And now you're a black belt. So, I mean, that means a whole fucking lot, I would think.
Oh, yeah. And there's always those people, what belt's the hardest to get? I'm like, black. And they're like, white belt. No, because by default, you have to go through all those belts to get to black belt. That's like saying, oh, man, a blue belt's harder to get than a white, blue, purple, brown, and black combined. That makes no logical sense. It always drives me mad when I see that.
Yeah, I put up a question on, I don't know if it was my stories or if it was a post. And that was a question. I left white belt off on purpose. First off, you only have four slots anyway.
Yeah,
white belt didn't count, but so many people commented white belt. And it's like, well, I mean, I get your logic to saying, well,
I'm glad you're nice enough to say that.
Like, you have to have the courage to start. But it's like, yeah, but the thing is,
I had the courage to start. Everyone who has a belt had the courage to start. It's not special once you're a belt.
Yeah. It's like when you start as a white belt, I mean, technically everyone in the world is a white belt, technically.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, to say, oh, that's the hardest belt to earn is like, not really. Not really. I mean, again, you step onto the mat, you're a white belt. And yes, I know, again, you have to have the balls to step onto the mat. But I think also more importantly, you have to have the balls to keep coming back, because I got choked out by a 14-year-old. Like, I was like, okay.
You remember the first person I grappled with? Like, that wasn't Dr. Freeze at Team Viper, was Greg Dean. He was a purple belt then. and he was like 300 pounds and I was 125 pounds and just got smashed. But he was a gentleman. He was very kind. Funny thing about him, when he started training again with me 13 years later, he was still a purple belt. I gave him his brown belt. I was like, dude, come on now. 13 years of purple belt. He's very talented. He's a black belt now, but very good guy. But he was the first person I ever grappled with outside of like the gym. I mean, inside the gym. Sorry.
No, I mean, and you know, those things matter though. You mm-hmm. know, like that's your first, person that you grapple with, you know, at the gym. I mean, I think that's just, you know, as we think about, you know, our journey, because I've asked other people these questions. They're like, I don't know, it's been so long, I don't know. And it's like, well, I mean, maybe. I don't know, like, I remember my first going for the trial, getting choked out by a 14-year-old. And, you know, he was nice about it. He wasn't like it. I think I overreacted because I'd never been choked before. So I was very confused and scared. You know, I'd never been like swept and a person mount me before. I just, those were new territories for me. So maybe I overreacted and tapped quick. But the first person I rolled with, you know, in a regular class, was this dude we call Worm. And I remember, you know, just coming in off of football and just being strong, and just, he was a skinny guy. And I'm just like victimizing him with my strength. And I remember him always, and we talked recently. He was like, dude, like, you're a beast, you're this, you're that, you're this. And I was like, dude, I still fucking suck. So like, no, you should be, you know, here and you should be there. And it's like, you know, I appreciate him saying those kind things, but it's like, dude, like, we have to be realistic. I'm realistic about where I am in my journey.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Jiu-jitsu has a lot of this fake, humble, unrealistic everything.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, like, blue belts always think they're better than they are, and black belts are always like, oh man, I suck too. I don't suck. I've been doing this 15 years. I do not suck. I can still learn, yes, but I don't suck. I will kill you. Yeah, like, that's the whole point of it.
That's the, yeah, exactly. That's the point that, like, that you just said there, though. You still learn.
Yeah, like, I can always learn, but that doesn't mean I suck or any of those fake. The fake humble thing gets me every single time.
It's like, there's a weird thing to it, though, too, where it's like, are you expecting to sneak up on somebody with it?
I think they are. There's always those weird, proddy questions. Yo, how long you been training for? How much you weigh? Where you come from? So you try to figure out their style, their rank, just by prodding. And it's just pretty whack.
Yeah, just slap hands and get out there and go.
Yeah, like, that's the only thing about no-gi I think is better.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when it's no-gi, people ask those questions even more because you don't know.
Like, I started no-gi, well, not by design. I started no-gi because I couldn't afford a gi, and everybody else was in a gi, and they were nice enough to let me keep coming back without a gi. And then when this one dude, Frank, choked me with my t-shirt, I was like, let me just get a fucking gi, because I think he did that because he's mad at me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, what year did you start in?
2009.
2009. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, by that point, I think what, because I know in 05 was like the Ultimate Fighter, and then that picked up a big influx of like MMA fans, which then kind of started pushing people inadvertently to jiu-jitsu, because I know a lot of guys that went into MMA and they're getting their asses kicked. So they're like,
yeah,
I'm going to go to jiu-jitsu because I'm not getting punched in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know,
in 2009, when I started, like, it wasn't really like jiu-jitsu by itself. It was like Monday, Wednesday was grappling, and then Tuesday, Thursday was, let's just beat the shit out of each other with gloves. Like, it really was like the OG day. Like, when I started, it was like the tail end of the OG guys. So they all just killed each other, especially like at Alex's gym. It was really awesome because Monday, man, we just put on gloves and hope for the best. And it's like, all these people think I'm just a sport guy, or because they just see that I post what I post on Instagram. But dude, I couldn't go to the gi classes when I first started because my son's mom at the time played volleyball on Monday, Wednesday. So I was there watching her because who wouldn't want to watch chicks in volleyball shorts? So that's where I was instead of jiu-jitsu. And so Tuesday, Thursday was like MMA. And I still tried to do jiu-jitsu the whole time while getting punched in the head. I was like, nah, I will catch you. And that's when I learned punch block series. And you know what? Best thing I ever learned. I still triangle people off punch block series, even in my sport.
Nice, nice.
Self-defense is king, man.
Well, and you know, that's, you know, one of the things that we run into a lot in the jiu-jitsu community and conversations is the argument between sport and self-defense. Because you see a lot of sport jiu-jitsu and then people are like, well, that wouldn't work in a street fight. Actually, I get annoyed in general when I hear
jiu-jitsu. I hate work that one. Fight. They're like, you wouldn't bear and bolo in a street? Yeah, because I don't need to. I can just scissor sweep you and punch you in the fucking mouth. Like, it's not hard.
Exactly.
So this is the best way I can explain the difference between sport and self-defense. Self-defense is me grappling a dumbass who knows nothing. Of course, I'm going to win every single time. Now, me and you grappling, I can't just two-handed rape choke you. Well, I could, but it wouldn't work. That's the only difference. It's going from an experienced person to an experienced. Most of my techniques that I use now, my highest percentage things are just self-defense stuff modified a little bit to add a little bit of concepts, quote-unquote, of knocking them off center line or off balancing. That's all it is. I just set you up to do the same armbar that I've been doing for 12 years. I don't change anything. I just make it work on people good.
Well, you know, that's the thing too, is like talking about people who don't know jiu-jitsu and, you know, like you said, self-defense. I mean, just, you know, going against a dummy, you know, like my wife and I, when we watch movies and we'll see a fight scene, you know, we'll see that straight arm choke. And I would say my wife is like, oh, my God, I called the bitch ass choke. I was like, bitch ass choke, yo, that shit's not choking nobody. But then you think about it, I was like, well, if you got someone who doesn't know shit. Yeah. You know, like, they, you know, they're mesmerized or they're frozen by the idea like, oh, my God, somebody has their hand around my throat and, you know, they're pushing. Whereas like if.
Dude, I'll sit there and enjoy it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, because in reality, I mean, you know, grapplers is like there's a different kind of pressure that we deal with. And like that's not at all any kind of threat to us. As like you said, you sit there and enjoy it, you laugh at it. But I guess, you know, when you look at like, you know, your regular folk out there, you know, Otto at the bar, you know, thinking, hey, you know, I'm a street fighter. I could beat anybody's ass. Well, yeah, you could beat all the dummies in the bar who don't train until you come across a guy that knows how to close the distance, who knows how to use pressure, who knows, who has balance. Because that's one thing one of my teammates said is like, you know, he hit somebody on the shoulder once, like just kind of coming like, hey, what's going on? You know, just kind of, you know, going over and the dude fell down. I was like, oh, shit, I forgot regular people don't have good balance.
They don't.
You know, some shit people always underestimate is balance. So, fuck them.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. They're stupid. They don't do jiu-jitsu or something useful in their life.
Yeah. Well, a big part of that, though, is the you know, the ego. It's like you get a lot of those cats, they show up, they get their ass kicked by a 14-year-old or older guy, and then they're like, I'm not letting that shit happen again. And then...
But that's what drove me. I always make the joke, the darker my belt got, the bigger my ego got. You know how much more I bully my students now that I'm like a black belt that like can handle almost anybody, and I'm not 125 pounds anymore. Like, this is hilarious, man. This is so fun. This is why people lift weights. Oh, I love this.
That's what I told a white belt once. I was like, yeah, just keep like don't wash your belt. Just keep rolling and rolling and rolling. It'll turn black eventually. And that's how you know you're a black belt. They didn't believe me, but I saw them trying. I saw them like, you know, fucking around with the belt when they was like, oh my God, you're so fucking dumb.
Oh my God.
Don't listen to me.
Dude, that's great.
I mean, but to be fair, I probably would have been that same white belt. If you told me some shit like that, I probably would have, like, on the inside, like, really? You just fucking took my belt out and did some dumb shit to it.
Should I get in the concrete for a while?
Yeah, just tied to my bag, like underneath my bag, just drag my bag around, get extra scuffs on it. What's your stance on washing the belt?
So, interestingly enough, I have lots of black belts. I have like 9 of them, and I just cycle through them because I like all of them. They all have meaning to me from different experiences in life, and I wash all my belts. It's part of my uniform. It is what it is. Like, yeah, if I don't wash it for a couple of weeks, I'm not upset about it. But I'm not. It's basically, if it's in my laundry, it gets washed kind of thing. I don't go out of my way to wash or not wash it. I'm not going to lose my skill. Honestly, drying your belt is what makes it look tattered. If you want it to look worn, throw it in the damn dryer.
Give it some personality.
Yeah.
Some of the surprising folks that have told me they don't wash their belt, it just blew my mind. Just because it's like, I've seen some folks that generally seem like, I wouldn't say germaphobes or neat freaks, because I can't imagine anyone doing jiu-jitsu and being a germaphobe. This is the wrong sport.
Yeah. Dude, I eat shit off the ground all the time. I drop. I don't care. I've had sweat drop perfectly up my nose.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, it burns and you want to cry. Like, I don't think it can get any worse than that.
I'm the sweaty guy at the gym.
Oh,
so
I hate you.
Hey,
you're the reason I wear a rash guard.
Oh, I'm the reason I wear a rash guard.
Dude, yeah. When it drips, that's like sweat. Usually that's another reason I like ghee. It absorbs it all. Mm. But man, when it's like drippy and gross, that's a bit much, because I slip on it. That's how I strained my MCL. I slipped on someone's sweat while trying to do like a Toriando. I was like, you bastards, you hurt me and I hate you.
I slip on my own sweat and I get mad at myself, because I'm just like, it's like, fuck, that was your trap, not mine.
Oh, that's gross.
I got called out a few weeks back while rolling. I got swept. And when I hit the mat, I went to wipe sweat because, again, I'm the sweaty guy. It doesn't just affect you. It affects me heavily, too. I go to wipe the sweat and my coach goes, did you just stop in the middle of a sweep to wipe sweat off your face? And, you know, it was, and, you know, like, you know, instinct. I didn't really think. I was like, did I? He was like, yes, you did. I was like, shit, my bad, dude. I like, I'm sweating. This shit was rolling in my eye. I was like, God damn it. Like, look, I can't control who I am, Randy. Okay. I sweat.
Well, maybe someday.
At least it's not piss.
Oh, God. Could be. Yeah. Just pissing all over the mat.
Oh,
there's always somebody that's probably into that too. That's the worst part.
I mean, there's 8 billion people on the planet, Randy.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of like 7.99 billion of them.
Yeah, most. I think I like my kid.
So I teach kids class, and like, I don't do it often. It's more of a treat for them, because I think they have a blast. Like, because I just teach like self-defense in a huge animated way. It's fun. They get to beat me up, and I hate teaching kids. It's so stressful, and I love my own. I love children. I love babies. I love toddlers. I've had like a toddler in my life for the last 10 years. Favorite thing in the world is just playing. But man, teaching like that 8 to 10 know-it-all age is so frustrating when they're not mine and I can't, how do I word this, abuse them? Like, I can't, like my son, he runs across the mat, I'll just trip him and then laugh at him. He's like, that was fun. I trip the wrong kid, they cry, and then I get sued.
Huh. I mean, I think from the, and you know, outside looking in, it looks like, oh, cool, teaching kids. I used to think too, like, oh man, I would love this. And once I oh my God, this is a nightmare. Like, I don't like this.
It has its rewarding moments, but
yeah.
And I want to get better. I do want to get better at it. I want to get more patient with it. It's just not the right time. Maybe the next couple of years I'll calm down a little bit.
Like, I love those moments with teaching kids when they get it.
I love that with anybody. That moment, because I believe you can be a purple belt and never get it. I don't know how to explain this, but bear with me. For me, it really clicked at like the end of white belt in terms of, oh shit, things are all, everything's the same. You just kind of change it a smidgen based on the situation. Like it's all variance. I think of jiu-jitsu as more engineering than a science. Just simplify the most you can, take steps out and make it still work so you can repeat it and it doesn't break down. More steps, more chance to break down. That's how I think about it. And
yeah.
That's just how I always thought about it. And I still do. I try to simplify everything. I even take steps out of things like my professor's professor. And it's like, you would change Master Delahiva's technique? For me, yes. When I teach it, no, I leave it alone. But
like that's, you know, an interesting point there though that you made, that was like for yourself, because you know what's going to work for you.
Oh yeah,
you know how to make it work, versus if you're teaching it to somebody else, you still got to give them all the components, because you know it's our job as the student to eventually figure out for ourselves, you know, what's going to work for me. Like when, and you know, at my gym when we're doing all this crazy invert stuff, which is not Dante friendly, but it's good to have it in my pocket to know, okay, I can, you know, I can utilize this. But for my
fun, some things you just do for fun. It doesn't have to be optimal to make you learn. Sometimes fun is optimal. I hate when people try to make everything too perfect and then it's just not fun anymore.
Well, that became my problem with grappling is perfection. And if anybody that knows me knows I'm far from, you know, a perfectionist. Like if you've listened to my podcast, you fucking know I'm far from a perfectionist.
Oh yeah.
But when I'm grappling in my mind, I always feel like I have to do the moves perfect. And it's because they're taught perfect. And it's like, fuck. But then when I'm rolling, and then I realize, like, wait a minute, I can still make this move happen without going through, you know, these extra steps. Here, I can cut this and that out.
It's just engineering. Get there. Yes. Jiu-jitsu nowadays, everyone's trying to be a fucking Donahue clone and overcomplicate it and sound smart and pretentious. He is a smart guy. I love what he's done for the sport, but you're not him. Fuck off. Like, you don't have a degree. Maybe, like, you might. I'm just example here. Why would you teach, like, grab with the radial ulnar nerve into the collar with 2.1 finger grips? Shut the fuck up. Just open the collar, palm up, grip, and grab it. Like, it's jiu-jitsu is not hard. It's like any other sport. You do what you're told until about blue belt level. Then you get to be a little creative. And then at purple, you don't need a coach. You need guidance. You don't need technical instruction at that point. You need guidance into where to direct your game. I am very self-taught. I got my blue, purple, I got all my belts from Vicente, my professor. But that's also why I remember everything I was taught. I only get to see him like once a month, if that. And I was teaching at blue belt. I had my own group of guys. So I remember everything I was ever taught from who I learned it from. And I had to make that shit work because that was it. And it wasn't pre-YouTube, but YouTube wasn't what it is today. So like that kind of was a tangent there, but I don't think jiu-jitsu is hard. And people get so upset with me when I say it's the easiest sport in the world because you only control yourself. I don't care how good my top pressure is. I truly do not control you. I only can control myself. And that's how I've always looked at it. It's just a sport with a self-defense aspect nowadays.
Like I always love when my coach, when I overcomplicate it for myself. I realized, like, hey, like, oh, should I put my hand this way or that way? I was like, why are you doing your hand that way at all? Like, you don't need, you know, or even, you know, better is like if he shows with like one grip. And I'm trying to do it with that same grip. And I'm like, look, I can't do it that way. So, well, you don't have to do it that way. Do what's comfortable for you. Do what's going to work for you to get the desired results. So,
as long as the core concepts are there, it doesn't matter what technique you use. For example, I completely destroyed this wrist. I can't bow and arrow anymore on this side. I do it anyway. I just had to modify. It's lower. It's more of a drive my knee in the back of your face, but still, it's a bow and arrow to a degree. I had to change. Most of my game evolved based off the fundamentals and injury. Like those two go hand in hand for me. That's how I evolved my game. So I had to develop a half guard to hide my right leg when I tore my PCL. I never stopped training. I tore my PCL like right before my birthday, and I was a purple belt. I still got my brown belt that November, but I didn't stop training. I just adapted my game and tried to be smart versus a knucklehead and truly like train through pain. Like, that's just dumb.
Yeah, I've been there.
No, I've been there, but I realize it's dumb.
I think, yeah, we've all been there, but I think, like, as I've gotten older, I've made kind of those adjustments too, where it's like, oh, I strained my groin last April, and like a dummy, I was like, oh, I'll come back in 3 weeks. I know that groin injuries don't heal in 3 weeks.
No, groin stuff, especially when you try to play guard.
Yeah. I remember coming back and my coach says, did you see a doctor? I was like, I just switched jobs, so my insurance hadn't kicked. And I was like, well, I don't have insurance right now. I won't have insurance for another month, but I will see a doctor. I was like, should you be training? I was like, well, I'm just going to drill.
Yeah, that's one of the great lies. That's like saying, oh, I'll just use the tip.
But, I went out there, didn't feel too good. Took some more time off. And then when I came back, I was like, okay, like, we're just going to focus on, top control. We're going to focus on everything to stay, off the bottom.
Focus, I really wish. What you just said there is perfect. I wish I learned a long time ago that the safest place to be is on top. People got so upset with me throughout my journey. In Delaware, I'm not the most well-liked grappler. Like, it just is what it is. I was aggressive. I liked winning too much. I still like winning. Now, with that said, it was self-preservation. If I am on top, controlling the situation, you can't hurt me. Like, my legs aren't tangled up in your guard. My legs aren't tangled up in your top position, me trying to play guard. However you want to look at this. If I am smashing you on knee and belly and I am mobile and you can't grab me, I'm not getting hurt. And people really don't like that mentality. But I have not had an injury since, knock on wood, but I was a brown belt the last time I actually got hurt. I got tweaks, of course, but injury to the point I couldn't grapple. Yeah, it's been a while because I just stopped playing guard. I use my guard to get on top as quick as possible when I don't know you. Like, yeah, let's say we know each other, we can play, but
yeah.
I didn't trust anybody when I was visiting gyms. I always had a target on my back. I competed. I was small. Everyone wants to beat up the small black belt, man. It's like, oh, wow, there's one that's not 200 pounds. Let's get it.
Like, we're going to finally get a black belt. We're going to get on the tap. It's like,
oh, dude, it's always, I started just letting people tap me the first 12 seconds to like dispel it. And then it just whooped their ass for the next like 6 minutes.
I could just imagine they get the tap right away. It's like, okay.
Now we can play. You see them. Every once in a while, I see them tap and their eyes get big and they're like, ah, shit, I should have did that. And then I never change my pace because I got tapped. But I'm like, now I can show you what I like to do, because I'll just dance around their guard and just be a jerk because it's funny. And then I stop playing. Once the like role progresses and I feel what they're about, then you just play with them. But ultimately, self-preservation's king. This is my job now. I can't get hurt. Yeah. But I do have insurance now. My wife is military. It's fantastic. I went to the dentist like twice this year.
Nice.
I know. And I had like 3 cavities in 10 years of, for 15 years of not going to the dentist. They thought, oh, man, I was impressed with myself.
Dude, I'm terrified of the dentist, and I'm not going to tell you when was the last time I went to one. but I was terrified of them.
And I was 18. And then I was 31 the next time I was.
I'd just rather not give the years. It's quite embarrassing. And right now I'm dealing with a situation where if my wife finds out about it, I will be forced to go to the dentist. And
what do you think? I went to the dentist on my own free will?
Oh no, I know you didn't.
No, hell no.
None of us do.
My wife was like, you're going to the dentist. To the point, like, me and my wife kind of reverse roles here. Like, she like has the full-time military job. Like, she's a captain, an officer. She's all fancy schmancy. And here I am in my garage doing podcasts and just doing jiu-jitsu every day. Like, I look like a bum. But it's like, she supports everything I do. She's the most wonderful person. But it's really funny. She's like, I made you a doctor's appointment. I'm like, oh no. Now you're going to the dentist. And now when I want to go to the doctor, like, oh man, my wrist feels funny. You can make your own doctor appointment. You're a grown up. Like, no, I'm not. not anymore.
Dude, my wife knows I'm the furthest thing from a grown up. And I try to get her to do my doctor's appointments for me, but she's just like, ooh, like what she does is she'll like kind of, you know, nonchalantly mention it around the house. But anytime she mentions the dentist, I immediately change the subject. Like, hey, we need to, because my daughter, she goes to the dentist, you know, on her regular schedule. Every 6 months? That seems right.
Yeah,
and when she mentions my daughter going to the dentist, she was like, we got to get you to the dentist. I'm like, you know, erectile dysfunction is actually a real problem in the world these days. So we should.
And I'm getting old.
Just go to the furthest conversation away from dental. And I got put in a triangle a few months back, and I like bit down on a mouth guard and I heard a crack. And I was like, oh no. And I tapped, I tapped immediately. And, I take the mouth guard on.
That's going to sound like the biggest excuse to tap ever. He triangles you and you're like, ah, my mouth, I tapped my tooth.
So, you know, what's crazy is like, I have like a stubby neck. So, and with a specific guy, he's always trying to triangle me. He never gets me in a triangle. That was the one time I tapped. Now I didn't mention a tooth to him though, at all. I just tapped, was like, oh, I run off, like, and I feel the wiggling. I told him eventually, like, I did crack a tooth. But, I was like, but, you still had me. You still had me.
That's the tap, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't care what it was. Like, you tapped. But, like, my tooth wiggles, and now it's just funky, and I can't wear a mouth guard. So now when I roll, I'm just super terrified. I was like, dude. I know it's coming. But what I really want is I just want something to happen where this tooth just pops, just drops. And I know my wife would be like, you got to go to a dentist. You got to go get it pulled. You got to go get it, whatever they do. I will go to the dentist if they allow me as a grown ass man to take anesthesia and go to sleep. And when I used to work in health insurance, I know we've had calls in about that, and they're like, it's at the time, this was whatever, 2016. I think it was like $2,500. If you wanted to go under, if you weren't a child or had autism, it would cost $2,500 to go under.
I just pretend to be a child.
Like, what's the jiu-jitsu scene like down in Mississippi? Like, where you're in said Biloxi?
Yeah, there's a lot here, dude. When I first moved here, I was like, oh, great. And then I started doing the whole Google thing and messaging people. And I'm going to like leave out names of anywhere for the sake of my sanity and my reputation. But there is, let's see here, in a 15-mile radius, there's 10 gyms. It is crazy how many there are. Now, with that said, some don't allow cross training. I've tried a majority of them. Some don't like me. That's fine, because they're not competitive atmosphere. They're a different type of gym. They just didn't like what I had to offer. And I didn't come down here to be a student. I came down here to be a teacher, and this is my job. I didn't come down here to just play anymore. And I got real lucky with Jay. I teach at Gracie Gulf Coast. And the first day I was there, it's like we just clicked. He's a big, ginormous, he's like 6'4" Asian dude. He's a Rob Khan black belt. And this dude ruins my night every time we roll. It is awful. He just smashes me. It's great. But me and him are the black sheeps down here. We're not the most liked group. But we all compete. And we teach self-defense. We have one guy who wants to do MMA. Like, we try to cater to everybody that comes to us. We're also the most expensive gym in the area, which helps weed out the people who aren't serious, too.
True.
So, like, it's a huge scene here. And most people get along pretty well, it seems. Like, there's a couple gyms I'll go to when I'm not, like, recently I haven't went anywhere because I've been so busy making shit for Instagram or teaching and traveling. Like, I went to Florida twice. I go to Arkansas. I go all over the place to teach. Whenever I'm asked to teach, I'll drive. As long as I'm paid enough to cover the cost, I'll teach anywhere. I don't care. I don't do this to make money. I'm already financially secure. I don't care anymore. This is just fun. I love everything I do in this sport. I just want to keep doing it, honestly. I don't really know what else to say about that part. Seems huge, though. Like, 10 gyms, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, that, like, just when you said that, I was just like, damn, really? Like,
if you Google just the Iberville, the three biggest ones are like down the street from my house.
And I'll be honest, you know, I'm not well familiar with Mississippi necessarily anyway, but to think is like, damn, like, it, you know, my first thought would be like, oh, you can't have much of a scene down there. Like, you know, what's it got to be like? And it's like, damn, that many?
Okay. And it's not even, and the crazy thing is, so I live in like a normal white people suburban neighborhood, kind of. Like, I live in the richest part of Mississippi, dude. And that's just because the cost of living is cheap. This is the best, like the richest part of Mississippi is still like cheaper than normal of Delaware or the East Coast. And
yeah,
I just like, we have a little neighborhood group. And I was like, hey, I'm making videos. La-di-da-da. Has anyone trained that's like off during the day? Dude. There's probably maybe 50 houses here. I had like 15, 20 people. But yeah, I've trained before that. Like, everyone here seems have trained or at least tried it, which is pretty cool. I think that's cool. But yeah, it's also, damn it, there's a lot of crappy blue belts. I also forget that I'm so far past that. Maybe they're not crappy. I'm just that good. Like, I can't tell anymore.
I think there also gets to a point, though, too. It's like blue belt's kind of that weird area where
it is.
Like, you get to it, and it's like, you know, getting from white belt, you know, everybody's, you know, standard to blue belt varies.
Oh, yeah. I agree completely.
You know, but for the most part, there is kind of this common base of what it takes to get to blue belt. So you get to that base, whether it be loosey goosey or super strict. And then you kind of get this hodgepodge.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like there are blue belts. I remember I first got my black belt. And we had this dude come visit the Air Force base. He was a multiple-time blue belt world champion that competed at 141, but he walked around at 180, deadlifted 700 pounds. He fucked me up. Like, you know, I don't mean like he just smashed me. He submitted me like 9 times in 5 minutes. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, you were Toriando and then just Kimura, he just ripped my arm off. I was like, God damn. Like, I couldn't deal with it. He was so strong and explosive and fast and good at the Toriando and Kimura. It's like, that's all he knew how to do. Which, it's funny because at the time, that was all he knew how to do. He's evolved a lot since. But still, it was intimidating to realize there are blue belts that will kill you. And then there's blue belts that, dude, that's a one stripe white belt right there.
You know, it's the blue belt that understood the assignment. It's like,
oh, yeah,
get good at something and make exactly it yours.
He just found that holy shit.
Yeah. I feel like at Blue Belt, because that's where I still am. It's like you get to a point where it's like there's a flood of information that comes your way. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I got to take it all in. It's like, no.
Exactly.
Like, be aware of it. But what are you using? Like, again, at my gym, they're like, hey, you know, we're working on, you know, we're doing Kiss of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kiss of the Dragon isn't going to probably be the best thing for my fat ass, but having it available up here, knowing like, hey, if I'm in a spot, I can modify and make it happen.
You want to hear something really funny about that technique? The Kiss of the Dragon was the first thing I learned at White Belt that I hit on like higher ranks.
Yeah.
I learned it at White Belt. I saw it on YouTube. I was like, that looks cool. And then I just realized how easy it was. Like, I drilled it for like 2 seconds. And back then, everyone's jiu-jitsu kind of sucked. Like, no one was that, like, good. There was a couple outliers. But I was hitting the Kiss of Dragon on all my instructors, like the guys who were instructing at the time. I was like, this is hilarious. I couldn't keep the back because I didn't know how to take the back. But I was just keep hitting the Kiss of Dragon.
Yeah. I remember when we first went over it. I remember the first time I saw it. Just like, dude, I'm not, because my head coach was teaching it to the kids class, like, you know, the competition kids, and he was trying to basically kind of put me into that position to start working with those kids and coaching them. So he's teaching me and having me rep this thing over and over, and I was just like, I think at that moment I realized, like, I don't know that I want to coach the kids if we're doing this.
Yeah. Like,
I want to coach the little ones, like the little bitty ones that are just learning how, like,
they're doing, you know, positional stuff.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to be rolling up on my neck, but it's like having that, you know, tool available, though. At least, like, I learned a lot of stuff to defend it.
Oh yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of everything has a defense. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's a lot of the techniques I learned throughout the years. Like, I don't think I learned a single escape until I was like a brown belt. Like, positional, yes, but like, I never learned an armbar escape. I still was never taught it. I just got caught in a lot of armbars, saw on YouTube The Hitchhiker, and kind of figured it out. Yeah. Like, my professor, I didn't, like I said, I remember everything he's taught me. And I know that sounds like crazy or ridiculous, but everything he's taught can be condensed into probably like 100 classes because I only got to see him so often. And he was very big on get really good at guard passing and guard retention because everything else will fall into place. And like, it's genius. Like, that's way ahead of its time because now, just now you're seeing people say that with their stupid ecological training. No, shut the hell up.
It's like this oversimplification of things. It's like, dude, like,
I'm all about making jiu-jitsu simple, but damn.
Well, I always feel like, to, you know, I can only speak for myself because I know how, you know, I do. You know, I always feel like, you know, whenever I'm looking at anything, and the moment that I feel like, you know, one of my teammates once said to me when I was white belt, he saw me, we were doing mock matches. He saw me, he goes, I saw you freeze up. It looks like it was paralysis by analysis. And I was like, what does that mean? He was like, you just, everything went through your mind in that moment and you froze. I was like, that's exactly what it was. And I've been, you know, I've been catching myself with that. You know, if I freeze up, I know that I just overloaded the system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, go to the most basic thing that you know from where you're at right now. It's like, if I'm down, you know, the joke is just stand up, you know, but it's like, basically, if you're down, start, you know, creating that space, get up, you know, get out of there. Like, why are we sitting here trying to, like, you know, let's get a, you know, cross collar choke from this point. You know, get the fuck out of there.
On Instagram, I get all kinds of comments. What if they put their hand here? What if they put their hand there? It's always the what ifs, which is fine. I had those myself. Don't get me wrong. I still did the hip escape. It didn't matter. I just accounted for the variable. I don't think it's that hard of a concept. Like, my game isn't crazy complex. I know a lot of shit. Like, I really, I know a lot of I can drill almost everything. I can do almost everything to at least a blue belt. I don't teach anything I can't do live. I find that kind of disrespectful to the art. If you can't do it, probably shouldn't teach it. But and I understand how that could be different. Like, you can't do a Kiss the Dragon, but your students should still learn Kiss the Dragon. Let's pretend you had students. You would probably, well, if I was in that boat, I would pay somebody to teach my students Kiss the Dragon. But luckily, I'm a this wonderful body type that's not too tall, too short, too big, too small. Like, I really am, in my opinion, like, I can learn anything. I can smash people. I can float past. I can leg drag and do whatever I want. And still teach all of those things. For example, when I teach for everybody in the room, right through myself. So I'm going to use, for me, I'm learning how to get out of arm bars better. So what do you think I'm teaching my students? An arm bar. That's like, it seems logical to me. And I always had military guys who were only here 6 months. And I wanted them to compete before they left. So I had to teach them as efficient and perfect and quick as possible. Because they were committed. They still had to put the mat time in. They were there every day. But I started to systemize to a degree without being overly conceptual and all this other crap, because no one would get it in 6 months. So going back, I would teach the armbar from guard in its basic form, 4 steps or less. If it's more than 4, they won't remember shit. So for the white belts, it's literally 1, 2, 3, 4 in cadence. Do it again. Do it again. Now, I don't let them ask questions here. There's no what ifs. There's no any. Just do what you're told. And it's like, because you don't even know why the what ifs would even happen yet. From there, that's when we do all the situationals, or now games. It's fucking stupid. The situationals. We've been doing this for 20 years. Leave me alone. 15 years. Sorry, I exaggerated. I'm sure everyone's been doing freaking situationals forever. That's how you learn. Anyway, I would do like very, very specific ones, like a fully locked out armbar. All right, start there, but you can't finish. You have to keep that position. The other guy, both people are learning here. I'm learning, they're learning how to armbar me, and I'm working on getting the hell out. Because I use myself all the time as the dummy, so I can learn. This is how I learn jiu-jitsu. I didn't learn from a teacher per se after blue and a half belt. I just did this every day. Then after like the first like specific, we'd start in like the rear naked choke defense and then close guard with like a top lock or high diamond or whatever people call it now. And then just roll. Questions are allowed and encouraged during the situational part. Hey, they did this. What do I do? Great. You actually experienced them doing it. Now your what if question's valid. And I know that comes off as harsh, but so many people ask questions that never even pop up. What if they post on their head upside down 360 mount? They're not going to fucking do that. Shut the hell up. And it also just distracts from the flow of the class.
Yes.
Like when you ask a question every 12 seconds, come on, dude. I'm also a very like individualized teacher. I teach to your body type. Like, I'm not going to teach you the same thing I teach everyone else. I teach the core technique in its most basic form, like I said before. And then we adjust it for if you have long legs or if you have short legs or if you have a stomach. Like, those things account for things, whether it comes out harsh or me calling you fat, we don't know. But they all account for things that happen in grappling. And that's my job, is to do the accounting for you. That's why I'm paid.
I like that you make that a point, though, too, is, you know, you have to account for things.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all there.
I have short, stubby legs.
Mm-hmm. You're not trying with anybody.
Exactly. And the thing is, if I somehow force gump my way into a triangle, meaning you're too dumb and you got caught in my triangle, it's going to be a tough time. Yeah. Yeah. But it never happens. It, like, normally if I shoot any kind of positional four triangle, if I'm in any situation where you're close to a triangle, understand that I'm not going to get the triangle, but I am going to probably arm bar you because your arm is exposed.
Oh, yeah.
But that's, again, you know, I've had to make those adjustments because I understand my body type. And I love that, you know, you point that out too. It's like, look, you got short legs, we got to make adjustments for this. If you got a belly, we got, you know, we have to account for that. You know, not everyone, you know, not every move is one size fits all.
No move is one size fits all.
Yeah. Zero.
That's the thing. And I understand that when you have a big gym and big classes, you kind of got a cookie cutter. I get that. I refuse to do that. Dude, I'm already rich. You think I care about students paying me money? No, I want to build the best grapplers that I can that within their goals. I don't want to push my goals on people anymore. I used to do that. Not a good time for most people. But if somebody comes to me, hey, I want to learn self-defense, I will do my very best between research and my own personal experience on to teach you the self-defense that I learned, which is like balance, old school, Gracie self-defense. That's what I started. If you want to learn how to smash past, I can teach you that. I've been learning it a lot from my instructor. I've been researching with Bob Kahn and watching what he does because I think he's a genius based on my instructor, the guy I work with. He's not really my instructor, but he's just really good at the pressure game. Or if you want to learn how to bambolo, I took the time to figure it out and break it down to make it easy. That's like, those things are like my job to make it translatable to you. It's like, I hate using tropes for jiu-jitsu. It's like a language, but yeah, it kind of is. Like, I'm just translating for you into a simpler form. My whole goal is to simplify. I don't want to sound smart. I'm not a genius. I'm just good at a sport. That's all I am. And I want to convey it to you. If I sound a certain way, some people think they can't learn it. You see that all the time with people who are overly pretentious in college courses. People drop out.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, just a thing too. It's like, you have a specific goal. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I want you to be the best grappler that you can be, you know. And I think that's so important.
I should make that a propaganda poster.
Absolutely, dude. Be like, you know, draw it up, throw it on Instagram. I'm here for it. I'm reposting the fuck out of it. But it's like, me as, you know, a student, that's the shit I want to hear. That, you know, that's the shit that makes me feel like, you know what? I know I'm going to get the best out of it. And that's not to say, you know, I love, you know, where I train at now. You know, I get what I need, you know, there. But if, like, I'm, let's say I'm not new, like fresh new, but like, you know, I've had some training here and there. Now I need to like actually get serious. Like what you're saying is like, I know for me, I'm like, dude, I need that in my life. I need someone that's, you know, trying to teach me, but not trying to make me be, you know, their mold, you know, like trying to make me out to be, here, you got to do it this way because this is the way that, you know, it's always been taught in the olden ways. Mm-hmm. And we're going to just keep forcing this down because, again, you know, when I look at me, like when we're doing Darth chokes, these little fucking T-Rex arms, fuck that. Like, in every and time.
That's also the thing with like group classes in general, not just jiu-jitsu, but just group classes. You have to systemize or have a curriculum. And not everyone's going to fit the mold. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue I have with jiu-jitsu teaching as a whole, dude. There are still people who teach the three techniques a night and then roll. Then there's people who go the full fucking ridiculous and go to the, what's it called? Where they play games and crap and that's all they do. That's stupid too. And they'll always use the exception. Look at this guy's a world champion. Yeah, one guy at your gym learned. Fantastic, good for him. That may be his learning style. What I try to do is blend those two together. I have a curriculum, right? But the difference is it's not 36 techniques rotating. It's major positions rotating. And I interchange different techniques because, again, another Rob Kahn thing that I just thought was genius. He said the technique doesn't matter. Techniques will always come and go. It's the end goal that matters. And I thought that was genius. Do you know how many times I learned the armbar from guard? Like a million. And I pick and choose the best parts for myself. Now going back, there needs to be a balance between the two of those. So what I've been doing, and this is relatively new, this is like the last year I've been really doing this. I rotate a cycle of major positions and I only make four. And I mix two together, like mount, back, guard, half guard. Those are major positions. Yes, there's neon belly, yes, turtle, but I kind of throw them in there with the related secondary, whatever, however you want to word that. Like mount and back and turtle are kind of the same to me. I just interchange techniques there. Four is the magic number for me because it's the highest number you can just look at if I throw objects on the ground and you just know four. Now five, some people can see that, but most people have to count five unless it's in that pattern that you're used to recognizing. Six, no chance unless it's in the pattern for most people. I go by than most people. So when I teach them that cycle. So every 4 weeks is top or bottom of a major position, A. So there's no one ever left behind on what a major position is. Like, yeah, 4 weeks may seem like a long time, but it's really not for jiu-jitsu. And I don't have a select technique for each one of those that I teach first. Yeah, bottom mount, I'll teach a mount. I'll teach mount escape. It's very flexible. If I have a group of guys who are blues, I'm not going to do the trap and roll for an hour and a half. I'll do the intricacies of the hip escape. So there's always the flexibility to change. And that's what's really important and missing in a lot of gyms is the flexibility and the balance between those two styles. Because I play games or situationals with my upper level guys, they know enough technique that goals matter. But if you don't know any technique, you won't have goals. Okay, I'm done my rant now. I'm sorry.
You're good. You're good.
I get on like, I get going. I'm like, ah, shit. It's been like 6 minutes.
No, that was good. That, like, I picked up a lot from that. And, you know, the rule of four, that's mm-hmm. big. I like that a lot because, you know, it made sense what you said there. Because, yeah, if you throw four objects down, yeah, you look at, you know, it's four. You throw five down.
Unless you know the pattern.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, People think like, let's go with like a barambolo to fucking the back to a choke to an armbar. That looks fancy, but it's four transitions with four steps each in them, give or take. How is that any different conceptually from going guard pass, side control, neon belly mount? It's the same thing, just more movement. So it looks more difficult, which it is more difficult to learn. But it's just transitions. And if you break those transitions down to smaller bite-sized pieces, anybody can do a barambolo. It's not hard. There's actually no part of jiu-jitsu I find difficult. And I know that sounds just arrogant. And yeah, it's easy for you to say you're a black belt. I never found anything hard in jiu-jitsu because I would find core mechanics in them. Like I would turn a barambolo to me is an armbar. Like the way you scissor wedge to get the scissor wedge. That's an armbar. It's the same mechanic to me, and that's how I learn. So I try to find mechanics that are everywhere, like standing up in bases everywhere, and apply it to everything. And it makes it really easy for people to learn techniques around the concept, and then you can have goals. Okay, I'm done again now.
Nah, that was.
I have a lot of time to think about how to teach and convey and prove my points, and it's been nice, actually, to sit in my garage thinking too much.
I mean, there's a superpower to that, though, too. Being able to focus and do that. I know there are times I'm down here in this basement, and I'll start.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's too much shit around here. You know, it's like I'll look over. It's like, oh, you know, I got to look at these fucking, you know, these cards. I got to put down some new questions for the horror pod. Oh, shit, I got to rearrange these figures. I got to.
I get it, dude.
Like, so, but being able to, you know, sit and like, you know, focus and, you know, isolate that's huge, dude. And I'm glad I got to kind of hear, you know, what some may call madness, some may call genius. I just call it work.
I've been very lucky, dude. Like, I'm getting like goosebumpies here. My wife has supported every single aspect of this. Financially, if like I need to travel, or something's up, she's like, yeah, go do it. I got you. Like, there's nothing. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words with how supportive she's been. It's incredible. I want to buy a new belt to review it just because I think it's cool. Here's $100. Go buy another Katara. Okay. It's cool. Like it just is what it is with her. She's just supports everything I do. So I have all this time to do the only two things I like: be a dad and jujitsu. That's it. I don't like anything else. I love my wife. Yeah, that. But I don't know how to enjoy anything anymore. And I know that sounds like crazy. I sit and play video games I loved my whole life, and I'm like, I can't do that. I'm bored. But I can sit on my phone and watch Technique for eternity. I never get bored. And then I might see something, I might not. That's also the fun of it. I can spend 6 hours on Instagram and not see something new. I feel awesome. And then I'm like, damn, I got to keep doing this until I find something.
So I will ask the question with that, though, because like there'll be times I'm sitting there looking at videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just fascinated. But then the problem for me is, because I'm a kinetic learner.
All right.
As I'm looking at that video, I'm absorbing it. But now I need, like I have to do it in that moment. Because if I don't do it in that moment, I don't know that I'm going to, you know, it's not going to stick for me. Like, do you have that? Or can you
not
just
at all watch
the video and you're just like,
so analyzing? It is really to a point now. That if I see a technique and I can find the root of it, and I'm going to use something simple. Let's just say the armbar from guard. I'm going to use that as the info, like everything. The root of that technique is closed guard. Once I find that position, I can pretty much do it if I want. So with something more complex, like there was a video of a dude doing like a jumping armbar to it within the lat and spinning through. So I do that a ton. From the hip bump sweep, I'll do a hip bump sweep. And then when they go to post, instead of taking the triangle, I'll just armbar them on the side that I'm hip bumping and just roll through. It's mechanically the exact same thing. I'm just in the air and tucking my chin this time. So once I find like that root place, everything's easy. I can do it without even drilling. And that comes with lots of time. It's not like I did that at Blue Belt. That's a recent thing. I do love techniques though. That I can see and just do. Like the arm drag was a poof moment for me. I was like a late white, early blue belt, maybe. Learn the arm drag, cool. I never drilled it at all. Now it's a staple of my game. I just do it. It's one of my favorite techniques.
Good, good. Part of what I use this podcast for too is it helps me to learn jiu-jitsu. It helps me to
hear
other people's thoughts. And then it's like when I go back and edit, I take these notes and I'm like, okay, you know, you add this to your reasoning later on. So thank you for that, because there's a lot that I just absorb there. I'm like,
anything to help people, man. I feel like not a lot of people probably think like I do, but they learn like I do. So if I can figure out how to translate my madness of thinking all day and engineer it down to a point that it's only like 30-second reels, then I did my job. So when I make a reel, you probably notice I don't really talk. I do voiceover. Mm-hmm. It takes like 70 tries to get it concise and what I want to convey. I've been getting a lot of feedback of, wow, that's super detailed and such a short, that's only like 15 fucking, what's the captions. But that's by design. I do my best so it's easy to understand. I think jiu-jitsu is easy. I just have to make it easy for you. You don't have, I'm making it so you don't have to do all the legwork I did. I have hours a day. You get 2 hours a night to train. I want to make the most of it for everybody.
We appreciate the hell out of you for that, Randy.
I made a story today, and I was never humbled by getting beat up. I thought it was fucking hilarious. Never humbled. It is humbling that, like, even you, or there's another guy who reached out today about a podcast too, and all these people who reach out and tell me, wow, this is awesome. It's helped me so much. That's really humbling to me. I was never humbled by getting beat up, because that's like going to play basketball with LeBron and expecting to win. Of course you're going to lose. Just is what it is. I was there to learn. But man, the outreach, like especially these last couple of months, I just started posting again, like serious. I never posted seriously. I always just fucked around on Instagram. But I started posting seriously in December, like the middle of December, and I had like 1,000 followers. And I'm at like 14K now. And I'm just being myself. I'm not going out of my way. I'm just like, yeah, I didn't even edit my own videos. No one's doing it for me. I just kind of look at it. I downloaded CapCut and figured it out. Tried to make it look pretty, I guess.
Hey, man, it's work. And I think, you know, as a viewer and as someone that, you know, utilizes social media relatively frequently, you know, what you're doing is working in terms of like reaching out to us and conveying a message, because there's so many posts that I have people that will tag me in videos, and you tag me in something, I'm going to repost it, you know, just out of, you know, out of simple mm-hmm. fact that, you know, we're trying to share the art.
Yeah.
But there's some things I'll look at that I'm like, issue that I see. Yeah. I'm like, there's too much going on in that video.
So
I don't know that, you know, but I'm going to still send it. Maybe someone's going to get it, but I can tell you, me, as I'm looking, it's like, that's too much. I got to roll, or it's not being explained clearly. So what you're doing is giving us the details, you know, without overloading us.
So again, by design, I noticed two things on Instagram. It's either some fancy shit with no explanation with some music, and that's whack. I always thought, I'm like, how is this popular? I don't understand. But hey, it was cool. Or it's some guy basically riding his own dick with a 17 chain long technique. And cool. Yeah, I can do that too, but that's not the point. You got 30 seconds, right? So if you notice, I'll say at the end something, you'll end up in a knee slice situation, but I won't show the knee slice. I try to keep it to one transition, one technique, and maybe not even a variance, but like the transition between two. So let's just use a scissor sweep, for example. I'll say, if your scissor sweep fails, you can do this armbar. But I don't go over the armbar. I don't go over the scissor sweep. It's implied that you understand the basic component. Here's an idea. Play with it. And that's like, I don't really teach, like that's how I teach detailed, like for my students, but on Instagram, I just kind of imply everyone knows what an armbar is. So it's more of, here's how to make it better. Well, here's a detail I found that I like better. I try not to be a hater, but sometimes it's pretty funny to take apart other people's things.
Well, I think also too, you know, there's a thing, like you said, you get to a point where you're sure like, hey, there's this, you know, you like, it kind of addresses like, you know, if somebody's like, well, what if?
Exactly. I try to answer the what if questions that are worth answering.
Yeah.
Which sounds like, again, that always sounds so harsh, but some questions are stupid.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, like you said earlier with the what ifs, it's like you can't, you know, don't ask the what if you haven't, you know, been through the situational.
Exactly.
To see where the what if might come from.
And that's just a life lesson, too.
Yeah.
Like so many people get caught up in the what ifs of life when they haven't even experienced the thing they're worried about.
Well, you know, that's the buildup of anxiety. You know, we're worried about
completely.
That's never happened, may not ever happen, you know, and, you know, we're like, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Yeah, but, you know, has it happened? Like, are you in a position for it to happen? Mm-hmm. No. Have you seen it happen?
That's one of the craziest things to me. Maybe this is just a me thing. I never have been worried about situations outside my control. I generally don't talk about this, but I'm going to do my best to word it. When my wife passed away, it wasn't why me or, yeah, I was fucking sad, but it happened in November 2020. And by December, literally the next day, I went to jiu-jitsu. That was like the first thing I did. That's like my coping mechanism at the time. But about a month and a half later, I just realized I didn't die. I'm still walking around. I still have to do things. And I still wanted a family. I still wanted to build something. And so
I don't know how spiritual or anyone is, but I believe that I should live a life that's worth watching from above, kind of like the Truman Show kind of thing. So be entertaining, be worth watching. And so I took that to heart. And that's when I actually started to try to be a good influence in jiu-jitsu. I always looked at this as a sport. Don't look up to me. I'm just a coach. That's all I am. Don't ask me personal questions. Don't ask me political. I'm just better than you at a sport. That's it. But as I aged, because again, I'm only 31. I started teaching when I was 19. So I didn't know how to deal with those life situations either way. But at that moment in December, I realized that I had to be a good influence. Now I felt like a man at the time. I was like, I have responsibilities. I have children. I have people who ask me life questions. I should probably try to live a good life in other people's names, even if I have to. Now it's a little more, I should do this because it's correct, not because of someone else. It's like my thought process has evolved over time. Sure. Based on new information and just life experiences, the best I can. Like, I never went to therapy. It's not that I don't believe in it. It's just jiu-jitsu gave me all the people I needed. So I never had to go seek anything out.
You know, the thing you said there, too, that's, I feel like, is always super important is, you know, as you've had different experiences, you know, your viewpoint, you know, shifts.
Oh,
the way you handle things shifts. And I think that is one of the most important things as a human. Period. And a lot of us, you know, I'm in my 40s now, you know, there are a lot of things that I'm, you know, starting to mature about and understand mm-hmm. and realize. And it's like, you know what, like you said, you know, don't stress over things that are outside of your control.
Oh yeah,
it can drive us crazy.
It really does. And like, got jumbled up there. So many people have given me immense support when I got remarried. Not one person was negative, and I may seem fast to some, but like, I got remarried less than a year later, and it was the best decision I ever made because I'm a very, I know what the fuck I want kind of person. And then I met her. We had a 6-hour bowling date, and I just knew. I was like, yep, I'm going to marry her. That night, we decided we got married a couple months later. She was pregnant by that December. Like we wanted the same things. We have the same core values, just a different way of going about them. She's a lot more sweet and nice and caring. And I am, well, me.
And that's what's unique about you too, is that, you know, when we're chatting, you know, on Instagram, I was like this dude's good. That's what I was like, dude, you want to be on this podcast with me? Because just us chatting here, I feel like you're going to be just such a great conversation, number one. And you know, again, I feel like I've learned quite a bit from you.
Oh, thank you.
This conversation. So, you know, thank you for that. I definitely want to have you back on.
Oh, sure. Of course. Maybe we'll be organized for once. Probably no, hell no. I'm only organized when I teach because let's go on that tangent. Yeah. Most instructors are not organized. They think this job is easy, which it is easy, but not the point here. So they just walk in and teach whatever. No, come on, man. Put some effort into this shit.
I mean, like you say, you know, you have a curriculum. I mean, you know.
Yeah. It's flexible, but it's still a curriculum.
You know, seeing guys who just like, you know, on the drive in is like, oh, looks like we're going to be doing this today. It's like, what? Like, we're like, that's nowhere near what we were doing last week.
See why I go by position versus technique. If I have a bunch of white belts, I'm going to go over the most basic, but it's still going to be that position. They know I plan my classes like a month in advance, but it's, again, it's like very broad. It's a mount retention, like maintaining mount. And maybe if you get it, we'll do arm bars, like that kind of game kind of thing. It has to be flexible because I might have 6 grapple belts walk in, or I might have people who've never grappled a day in their life walk in. And I need to be able to stay on schedule and teach everyone in the room.
We've been in our no-gi class working mm-hmm. on back control.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and I realize just like kind of the way that it's been taught, you know, over these last couple of weeks, it's like there's a simplicity to it
mm-hmm.
that, again, I've always overcomplicated in my mind. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, it, you know, in our conversation here kind of brings me back to that. And I'm just like, oh, my God, like all this shit is so easy. It's just that I'm making it harder for myself.
Oh, yeah. Most people do. Anyone can build a bridge, right? We all went to science class, had to build a bridge and make it weigh some bucket of sand. But if you notice, everyone, or almost everyone, over-engineers, overcompensates, uses 10,000 popsicle sticks. Everyone does that because they just want it to work. They don't care how efficient it is. They just want it to work. So they'll overcompensate. Jiu-Jitsu is the same way. It's very, very similar in that regard, where people will use a bunch of grip setups and this and that and la-di-da-di-da because it works. And it will work. But it's harder to learn. There's something I'm real stubborn with. Once I set my grips, I don't let go. My hips and legs do a lot of the working while I pin you with my hands. There's not a lot of moving parts to my game. When I'm playing my A game, that is. Like, I don't move that much. I appear fast only because I move so short distances, which is another whole conversation in itself.
Yes. As soon as you said, I was like, oh my God, there's more, but we got to wrap our time there. Because like now you got my brain like buzzing. I'm like, oh my God, like that too. That's another thing that just clicked for me over the last like year. Like, so, but we'll get back.
Subscribe to my Instagram. The answer's there. Do some salesmanship.
And I do appreciate the tags for the collabs.
Oh, dude, they help a ton. Even on my like, oh man, because like there's some I've gotten the last I think since we've been talking about maybe 2 weeks. I get like 100 followers an hour. I'm like, cool. I feel cool.
Hey, people.
It's addicting, man. Man, this internet stuff is like, I got to turn my phone off for like 2 hours a day because I'll just get overwhelmed.
I have recently learned, because I'm learning how to navigate all this shit too. Like, BJJ Wiki has been running since 2017 and it's been doing whatever it's doing. But now there's something different to it now where I have to, so I get up, I get ready, I go to work. Before I have to pick my first person up, I have 40 minutes. And that's where I do my first run of posts in the morning.
I need to set an alarm for that, man. So I can be like, all right, I'm to post.
I do have an alarm set. And what happens is I'll do my post and then I go away from my phone until around midday.
No, that's a good idea.
And then I do it again, put my phone away until about when I get home, just to kind of take a look. Because what happens with DMs is that I know people that get thousands. I get quite a bit, but it's not to that point. Like I have friends that like, I don't get replies from them because they're answering so many DMs. I'm like, dude, I'm just going to text you like straight up. Like, why are we on the gram? Like,
that's a good idea.
But
like me and my wife used to use Instagram like exclusively for like the whole sharing reels and stuff. Mm-hmm. And now like I'm not to this crazy level yet. Like it's only like 15, 14K. But the amount of people who ask, hey, can you make a video of this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? So I'm like, awesome. I have endless content ideas, but wait a minute. I know it's going to get to a point where I can't answer everybody, but right now I can, but it's also relatively exhausting. I'm like, oh my God, you guys are awesome, but Jesus, do you get bored?
I think there is a thing though, to the other side of it though, is that people, at least for me, what I've experienced, there's an understanding of time. I communicate, you know, like I've been texting with a couple people from Australia. And because we know we're like 13 hours apart.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't expect, like, you know, if they message me and then I reply whenever I reply, I don't expect to hear back from them until like the next day, perhaps.
That's how, exactly. I have a couple from Australia that do the same thing. I'm like, well, I'm not going to hear back from this for a while. Cool.
Yeah.
It's like a nice message surprise.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. I think with a lot of folks that I communicate with now, it's like I'll get a message and like I might like I'll see the alert, but I just can't do anything about it because I've made it where I'm only allowing myself to go on at these times. And around 7:30 to like 8 o'clock is when I will sit down and I will look at all of the content that I've gotten for the day and like just kind of make that the final for the night until everything's at a zero. And that's along the four accounts, the Compton Beer Club, Instagram.
Oh yeah. You got a couple of things going on.
So you're like, well, Compton, I don't mess with too much just because it's usually friends and they're just sending me funny things for me to laugh at, but I'm just going to turn around and repost them. It's like, I have to kind of dance around that a little bit. Off the Mats and BJJ Wiki are one and the same to some degree. So it's like I'll sit and look at everything and I want everything to be at a complete zero. And then, you know, we start over the next day. But it's like you have to kind of give yourself that space. You have to give yourself that time where you say.
I did change the notification settings on Instagram so I wouldn't get notified for likes.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's well, and that's kind of a weird thing with the collabs that I've been having is that I'll see there are a lot of comments, and I'm thinking like, oh my god, like why do I have like what I turned on yesterday it has 78 comments. I was like, from fucking what? Like, and I look, and it's like I think the last collab I did with you might have been Monday or Sunday. But then there's Jordan out in Oregon. He did a post. And then someone, I don't even know where the fuck they're from, but they collabed with me. And I look and it's like, okay, there's 78 comments. And it's, you know, it's along all those. And plus there's a collab from like weeks ago that's still getting traction. And that's where my brain goes, okay, step away. Step away.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't like it. It's now at a point where I'm just like, you know what? Just and again, I think a lot of folks understand and I appreciate it, you know, from everyone that if I get a message and I don't reply for like a day,
everyone
gives me a hard time about it. Everyone's really cool.
And I'm gonna start giving you a hard time on purpose. I'm gonna comment on everything. You're just gonna see Blackbot Randy like 7,000 times.
No, there was one person that they did give me a hard time. It was early on though. And I didn't know how to navigate it. I don't know how to navigate it now. I didn't know how to navigate it even then though. It was worse. And they're like, hello. Like, are you, I was like, I just blocked them. It was like,
there is one guy and it's random. Like it's only been two or three times. And I posted just a drill, like flowing through the top positions. He's like, you might as well just take an interpretive dance. That shit would never work. I'm like, well, it's a drill. So, and then like a month later, he posted some dumb shit like that again. And I was like, I remember you. Oh, you're a purple belt. Okay, you're useless. Got it.
Yeah, it's those folks that I remember the first time I encountered someone where it was my friend in Arkansas, Zach. He posted something. I reposted it. And this black belt pops on and just starts like, I can't whatever he said, it was very like demanding, like take this down now, like some shit like that. And I replied to him. I replied to him. I go, well, I'm not going to take it down because it's my page. number one. If you don't like it, you don't have to look. But also, I invite you to make your own content. And if you want me to reshare it, I am happy to do it. As a matter of fact, you can like
the best bargain ever. If you can do it better, show me and I'll share it.
Yeah, I told him, like, as a matter of fact, take this post here, redo it better, and I will reshare it. And then he attacked more. So I was like, okay, we're just gonna block you. I was trying to be cool. Like, I don't have time to argue on the internet because number one, I'm not as sharp.
I do.
Like,
I do all the time.
Like, for you cats who can do that, I applaud you because I don't, like, I can't snap back like that. Like, you say some shit to me. Well, I can, but
here's a good example. The scissors sweep to armbar one, right? Dude, I hit that all the time because I do a shitty scissors sweep on purpose to get a reaction. And they're like, your scissors sweep must suck. I'm like, it doesn't need to be good. Like, I just keep pissing them off. I'll just say the opposite of whatever they're saying and then prove that it works. And so, what was the other one? Man. Oh, one guy. His name is like Darth something. Like, oh, great. He's a Darth expert, apparently. He's like, that Darth escape wouldn't work on me. And I'm like, yeah, if it's fully locked in, it wouldn't work on me either. So. Of course not. All my escapes are based on I preemptively started them. It's almost like jiu-jitsu doesn't work on jiu-jitsu if it's solidified.
Yeah.
Wow. Who would have thunk it?
You know, that's the thing that...
It's always blue and purple belts, though. It's always blue belts and purple belts.
Yeah, that's true. I mostly run into purple belts to give me a hard time. I don't... And some blue belts, not a whole lot of blue belts, but mostly purple belts that give me a hard time. And honestly, at this point with it, I don't pay it any money. It depends. It depends on how the comment comes off, because I'll delete a comment and block a person quick. I don't care. It is like, and this isn't to like sound like, well, I have 137,000 followers, blah, 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 but it is one of those things where it's like, I'll block you. I don't care. My day is going to continue. Instagram will be okay without you commenting on my, you know, my repost.
That's exactly. That's how I feel about it. I'm like, I never had to block anyone yet because honestly, when people try to like argue with me, it's just engagement. Like, oh, I'll argue with you all day. I don't have a job. I can do this all day long, man. I will.
I like to let the arguments happen in my comments. Amongst other people, because that engagement it does not involve me, and I love it. But if you come at me directly, and now I have to, you know, now deal with it, it's like, you know what, I'm gonna go. Like, I put up I reposted something from Danny Patrick BJJ today. I explained to my wife, he and I have this thing. It's an unspoken thing. It just happened on accident, and I love it. We've been doing it for over a year now. I will repost him on a Tuesday. Every Tuesday morning, he gets the first repost of the day.
All right.
What happens is he will then take that repost. He will use it in the stories. It's his own post. He'll put a quote, a made-up quote, and then put my name on it. And then I will reply with something just as outlandish, if not worse, and put his name on it. And we've been doing this for a full year, and I archived it in my profile, and I made my wife read through it today.
Oh dear God.
Like, you have to read this. And she's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? And I'm like, I don't know, but I thought it was goddamn hilarious. But so I put up one of his posts today, and somebody commented grooming.
Oh dear
and
God.
I was like, it was like, you know what? That's not, like, get the fuck out of here. I left it up because I was like, you know what? If somebody wants to attack that dude and have that discussion, they can do it. It's going to give me the engagement. I'm going to take it. But the thing is, I am not going to jump into this arena and argue with you, because I'm just a dude on the internet reposting other people's quality shit. And at the end of the day, I don't care. If you don't like it, don't like it. But
I got another thing. There's very few times where I'll see something I don't agree with whatsoever or it pisses me off that I comment on. I'm like, I'll just move on. Why can't normal people be that way?
I don't know. And
but yeah, it takes too much energy of my day to be like. Mm-hmm. But then again, there are times I'm petty. I will be an asshole all day long to you if you comment some dumb shit. I'll just keep replying to my own comment when I think of new things. I'll do it all the time.
I used to do that when I played Diablo 2.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was also really stupid, but I built my character up, and I would help other people build their characters up. And the thing is, if I help you build a character, I'm going to give you gear. I promise you, I'm going to give you some fucking great gear.
Yeah.
It's just that you need to follow my rules. And my rules were very simple. Don't ask me for shit. When I open a portal, do not run around. Do not pick up any of the fucking treasure after I kill Bale. Just fucking chill. And I got you, doggy. People come in, break the rules, and then we will argue. And I would accuse people of being molested as a child. I would just say
horrible
things. And then what made it worse is then I would tell them, hey, meet me at a Arundel Mills ball by the Bass Pro Shop and we can do this, baby. No one ever met me, I don't think, because I never went up there. But in retrospect, it was like, I could have been killed if I was stupid enough.
Exactly.
But that's the
world. Yeah, maybe a black belt, but I'm not dumb enough to walk into those situations. I'm a jiu-jitsu guy, not a fighter.
Look, that's what I tell people. It's like, I'm not out for any fights. But look, if a fight finds me, you know, I ain't going to run from it, but I'm not going to go looking for it. I'm not Dante of 2000. What was this? Like 2010? Something like that. That seems right. Maybe 2000. No, it was 2007. Dante of 2007 just telling kids, meet me at the mall and we can fight. It was a grown-ass man.
Yes.
What's wrong with me?
That's awful.
Fucking mentally ridiculous. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. Randy, thank you.
No, thank you, man. Like, it's awesome to, like, be asked to do things. Like, it's really cool. Because I always feel like a weirdo being like, hey, can I do this? Like, is this normal? So it's nice when other people ask me. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, of course.
No, I appreciate you making the time. And really kind of on a quick turnaround. Like, you know, it wasn't like actually like months in advance. And we set the date. There was like
four or five days.
Yeah, it's like, all right, cool. You're like, yeah, let's do it this day. All right, cool. So we made it happen.
I'm always free, man. I'll come back tomorrow. I got nothing to do.
Love to hear it because I am that guy that I'm like, hey, can you record tomorrow? I need another episode.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, you got any shout outs or mentions that you'd like to drop for me?
No, I'm just really thankful for, like, dude, the gym I'm at now and the support Jay's given me. Being down here has been the best change in my life. It's been awesome. Like, my professor, he supports me still. That's awesome. It's been good. Moving down here was only good things.
Good, good. Glad to hear that. And again, keep the collabs coming. I may not get to, you know, all of them just because of the timing. But
I would keep doing it, and whatever happened. If it didn't, it wasn't personal. That's how I thought about it the whole time.
I try, if I can't put them out there on the wall, I put them in the stories at the very least, try to get some sort of traction going, because it's like, I love your content. And it's like, well, it'd be a waste for me just to leave it here in my fucking story or in the DMs. Let me throw this joint on the story.
That's why I try to tell you when, like, I've gotten pretty good at predicting which ones are going to do really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, based on people like side control escapes, wrist locks, and it seems anything I do with an arm bar. Everything else kind of just gets okay views. But anything that's due with, like, side control escapes has been fire. Or knee shield, anything mean stuff does well too. So you'll notice my, like, my catch wrestling coming out the last week. I'm like, smash.
I like mean stuff because
it works.
I'm trying to get back in touch with my inner mean person. So I'm like, oh my God, I see this is like, then I put it, I have another folder called game plan that I save stuff to. And then I just sit there and look at it. Like when I'm sitting here in the basement in the dark and I'm like, all right. And then my wife comes like, what are you doing here? Come here. Let me see your leg. But yeah, keep the collabs coming.
So much stuff.
You know, keep collabing and you know, if it doesn't get on the wall, it'll get in the stories, but I appreciate it.
Me too, man.
And as always, everybody listening, thank you. I appreciate the fuck out of everybody. If y'all got any questions, concerns, criticisms, always feel free to reach out. You can find me at bjj.wiki on Instagram or Off the Mats Podcast on Instagram as well. If you want to be a guest, reach out too. I mean, we like to come on here, have fun. You know, we like to talk some shit. We like to talk jujitsu. And if you don't want to talk jujitsu, don't worry. It's your show. You can talk about what you want. If you want to talk about the new iPhone release, I don't know if there's a new iPhone, but if you want to talk about the new iPhone release, let's do it, kid. I'm joking. I'm not going to talk about the new fucking iPhone.
Dude, I've never owned an iPhone.
My wife has an iPhone, and it's really weird because I don't.
Dude, I've had Samsung since Samsung started making phones. Like, I had the S1.
I think I started with S3, the Galaxy S3.
I lied. I had the S2. Yeah, I was S2 through that.
And like at the same time, my wife ended up somehow, I think we both were in that boat where it was like, yeah, just give me what works. They gave me an S3. And then when she needed a new phone, she's like, give me what works. They gave her an iPhone. And then she's like, yo, you're fucking up our DMs. So I will flush your phone. But yeah, either way, reach out, hop on the show, you know, let me know if I'm fucking up too. Because if I am, I need to fix that. I want to give a big shout out to my crew over there at Nerd Rage Radio. Bobby, Chris, Joe, Marilyn Phil, Ricky Tickey, Chucky O, Raul, everyone. I love you guys. If it wasn't for Nerd Rage Radio, I wouldn't be doing a podcast myself. So thank those guys over there. I also want to give a big shout out to my other podcast. So you like horror. If you like scary movies, go check that shit out. We just did the Omen episode, and we're actually going to be doing a movie review. I ended up getting a screener from a studio for a movie called Older Gods. I believe it's on Tubi right now. So if y'all got the Tubi app, it's free. Go check it out. It's a slow burn, kind of culty. Go check it out. We're actually going to do a review on it. And then I have the director actually coming on in a couple weeks as well. We're going to talk about it. And I'm not going to interview this guy. He doesn't like interviews. I don't like interviewing because I'm not good at it. So we're just going to talk some shit and, you know, I'll let him know, hey, so, you know, why do you know so much about cults? And then we'll go from there.
He must do jujitsu.
Of course. Oh, I hope he says because I was in jujitsu. Like, baby, you got to come to the other show.
You're part of the shield, man.
And then last but not least, I want to give a big shout out to my guest here, Mr. Black Belt Randy Sheets. Thank you so much for making the time for doing this, man. I appreciate the hell out of you. And, you know, got to have you back. All right.
Oh, yeah, man. We'll try some organizational stuff.
I love the way it went today. I'm gonna
it was fun, man. It was a blast.
So let's do what we do. But otherwise, everybody, I love the fuck out of you. Thank you so much. You guys keep listening, and we're going to keep making these shows. Thank you, everybody, and ciao.
Deep voice it. Now let me sing a song.